We have some announcements. The women's Bible study is Tuesday evening. Terry Buckler has started a study of the book of Numbers. She tells me it's not teaching you about Numbers, it's a book of Numbers. And all ladies and women are welcome. I can tell you that, as I have one of the people that attend, that vicariously I learn a great deal, so if you have an opportunity, it's a very good Bible study. Wednesday night service, prayer and Bible study at 6 o'clock. Everybody is welcome. The choir rehearsals are at 7 right after that. We can use your good voices, so come join us at 7 on Wednesday. And I don't want to point out that I think the wife made her first mistake, but on the fellowship dinner, it is really not this Sunday, and she marked that out. It is next Sunday will be a fellowship dinner. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are an awesome, awesome God. We thank you, Father, for grace. We thank you for wisdom, and we thank you for your patience and for your love and for salvation that you have bestowed on those that believe in your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for the work of Christ on the cross and for the indwelling Holy Spirit. Father, we pray for those people in our congregation that do the work. We pray for Mike as he delivers the message today, and for Terry Posey as he continues to teach Sunday lessons in the morning. We pray for the leadership committee that meets right after the church service this morning. And Father, we pray for our country and for our congregation to read the news and to listen to what goes on in the radio. It's not very pleasant, Father. And Hezekiah sought after God and prayed to God when he faced the Assyrians. And Father, he sent an angel. And Father, we could use your angels. We need your angels. We need you more now than we ever have in the history of the world. We need you, and we pray, Father, that you reach out and that we are able to learn from our lessons and to grow in faith and wisdom and guidance day by day. And we know, Father, that you are there. And we pray, Father, that thy will be done in all things. We pray these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. The scripture reading this morning is Titus 2:11 through 15. Titus 2:11 through 15. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and the worldly lust, we would live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a particular people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee.
Does that work? Good. Brady Coyle will be here with us next week, along with his wife, Janet. Yes, go ahead. That's good. Maybe it's not so good. It sounds like maybe y'all want Freddie more than you want me, but anyway. The Lord's good. Freddie's going to be here with us. He called me Saturday morning and said that they had arrived in the Republic of Texas. That old boy from Georgia sure is glad every time he gets to the Republic, and we're glad to have him. Coming along with him is his better half and boss, his wife Janet, along with Benjamin, and also with Bethany Faith, their son and daughter that's still at home. They've got another daughter that is in Pensacola Christian College, and their oldest son, Josiah, is married and is living currently in the state of Virginia. I call it the state of confusion for most people that live there, but anyway, state of Virginia, and going to college there and continuing his education. Be good to have him here with Freddie. And then he's bringing two students from his Grace for Life Institute, which this is their first year to hold that ministry there at Grace Farm. And it's a year-long ministry where they invite kids to come and charge them an outrageous amount to be there of $150 a month. And they get just a good education in not only the Scriptures, but in just how to live life. And so that is seemingly to be continued, and we trust that it will continue to grow. Two of the students will be with him, and so welcome them. Some people, like the Foxes, will host two students, the girls, and so we appreciate that so much, John and Jean, and I know that you'll benefit from them. They'll benefit from you. One of the reasons he brings them, Freddie does, because he wants them to see what it is like to serve the Lord in various communities around in the United States. And so he's giving them an education, and they should profit by it. We will be hosting Freddie and Janet, which is always a treat. And Freddie does like his treats. My ice cream disappears quite readily while he's there. But maybe Janet can keep him in tow. The story's told about the pastor who finishes up his Sunday message with an exhortation to the members there in the congregation. And that is, we're starting a new series next week, he says, and I would appreciate and ask that each one of you read Mark chapter 17 in preparation for next Sunday. So next Sunday rolls around, and as he begins to stand up, and he says, I want him to take a poll of everybody that's here this morning. And if you read Mark chapter 17, would you hold your hand up? And almost every hand in the congregation was raised. And he said, you folks are just the ones I want to talk to, because there is no chapter 17 in the book of Mark. So his subject matter was chosen for him. I will read you one other thing from a church bulletin. It's announced that the church will host an evening of five fine dining, super entertainment, and gracious hostility. So we pray that next week when you're here and come for the not only the message, but also come for the free lunch, that we not have the gracious hostility. But anyway, that's my opening remarks this morning, and I apologize for those. Let's look to the Lord in word prayer. Father, we do thank you so much. Oh, Father, grace. Grace, where would we be without grace, without your love? Some people, Father, are critical. Or guys like me who stress the grace of God, salvation, Father, because they deem it so shallow. But Father, I have known you since I was 12 years old. And Father, I am blown away every time my mind approaches and considers your love, Father, for me. How could you love me that much? How could you provide for all of my eternity? Freely, Father, simply because I trust in you and what you've done for me to get me to heaven. Father, that's deep. That is really deep. Something I cannot comprehend this side of heaven. Father, I thank you for it. I ask that you'd guide our study this morning as we look into the book of Titus and see what you would have us to learn this morning. Father, we ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. I look out over the group that we have this morning. Joe, it's good to see you, to have you back, see that you're well. And then we have also, let's see, who else has been under the weather? I'm sorry? You got anything to add, sweetheart? She opens her mouth. I take stock real quick. But, Ray, it's good to have you coming back again after your illness. You continue to stay strong. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Titus. We'll be looking at Titus chapter 2. If I missed you this morning in mentioning your being here because of illness, I'm tickled to death that you're here. Let's look in Titus chapter 2. I'm going to read some verses because I strayed from what I had intended to preach on last Sunday. I strayed from that subject here in Titus, and I spoke on eternal security. That's an important subject, but it's important we continue our study in Titus. Look with me in Titus chapter 2, verse 1. I'm going to read a few verses just to bring us up to speed. Some of them will be a repetition of what was read earlier. But Paul is speaking to Titus, and he says, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works and doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part or way may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things." We'll stop there in our reading and we'll pick up in our study. In chapter 2, two things that Titus is taught by Paul to do is to teach sound doctrine, as we read there, and also to practice, if you would, in the East Texas vernacular, what you preach. Practice what you preach. Sometimes we find, as we, as believers, set under the teaching or the sound of someone's voice, we find that what we see in our mind's eye as they read the Word of God and the instruction there doesn't quite match up to what we see in their life. And pastors and preachers and evangelists and teachers are not the only ones that suffer from that. Every believer who knows Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, or in this old earthly sinful body, it's never changed. We talked about, it was mentioned this morning, about baptism. And I would agree that a person who knows Jesus Christ, has trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, is saved and secure without water baptism. But water baptism appears to be some type of beginning the walk in faith in Christ Jesus. I think that what was said is of great truth. A person who knows Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, as they are immersed in that water, that does not add to their salvation at all. It may have an implication in their walk with the Lord, but in their salvation, they are secure the moment they trust Christ. That person who's trusted Christ, who is immersed in that water, goes in under that water, a dry sinner, and he comes out from under that water, a wet sinner. Nothing changes in this, in the desires and the leanings, the yearnings of this old flesh. Nothing changes because you've been dipped in water. The Holy Spirit does the cleaning after we've trusted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Those are some things that we need to keep in mind as we walk through this time that we have here on this earth. Look around us, folks. If we've ever seen the beginnings of the times of the rapture drawing close, we're seeing them now. I firmly believe that this is the beginning signs of the Lord's return to take away His church to be with Him forever and ever. We find here in Titus chapter 2 that Titus is speaking to two things that the Word of God needs to be done in the local church, how Titus is to handle that. The church, Paul tells Titus, must teach sound doctrine. We've read that. It's important that the church teach sound doctrine. There are a lot of churches that have a lot of interesting, should I say, orations, but it's not sound doctrine. There's a lot of churches that you can go to and be entertained with Hollywood-style entertainment, but that's not sound doctrine. The other thing that Paul tells Titus that he needs to focus on, or the church needs to do, is that the church must preach the grace of God. I believe in the grace of God. The grace of God has brought salvation to me. I didn't deserve it. The mercy of God allowed that grace of God to be applied to me so that when I trusted Christ, I received the free gift of eternal life. Beginning here, today's study is verse 11. Paul writes, and this is a little bit of a recap, Paul writes, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." I mentioned previously, a week before last, that the grace of God has appeared to everyone. Nobody can stand before God as a lost person and say, "God, you've never revealed yourself to me." In God's creation, God is revealed. And Paul said, "The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men." We find that in Romans chapter 1, verse 20, that we're without excuse. And then we find also that teaching in verse 12, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world. This is instruction that Paul is giving to Titus for the church. You see, Titus was over the churches there in the island of Crete, and there was probably around 100 of them. And so Titus had quite a responsibility as Paul was writing to him and encouraging him to do the things that needed to be done there in his ministry. Paul said, teaching us. That is a responsibility the local church has to have. Preach the gospel and then teach, okay? Teach correct doctrine. Here he says, teaching us that denying ungodliness. What is doing that for us? Where is the source of that? It's the grace of God. The same grace that brings salvation that has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness. That's denying ungodliness. That's an instruction here from Paul to Titus in the Word of God. As the Holy Spirit is the correct author, the original author of this Word of God that we have, the Holy Spirit then is teaching us, as it taught Paul, denying ungodliness, denying worldly lust. We should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. There is a contrast that Paul is drawing here between worldly living, or carnal living, if you would, and righteous living. ungodliness, worldly lust, is diametrically opposed to living soberly, living righteously, and living godly in this present world. The teaching ministry of Christ continues through the work of the Holy Spirit. We come to know Christ as our Savior through faith. We continue to learn through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit who indwells every believer. The Holy Spirit leads, guides, directs, convicts, and teaches. We find in verse 13 and following, Paul writes and he says, looking for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of the great God of our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. Paul is beginning to lay out the responsibilities of the local church. He is telling the people there, through Titus, that we should be zealous as the local church. We should be zealous of good works. What are good works? Good works are those things that God leads us to do as a group of believers that one person cannot do in and of themselves and on their own. We find here that Paul is speaking in verse 13 and 14, and he lays out the groundwork based upon who we are and what Christ has done for us. Looking for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. If that does not move us to action, our wood is wet. Our fire won't burn. We find here that that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, and we're seeing those beginning signs of His return for the rapture of the church, I believe, even today. Who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto Himself a peculiar people. That's us. We're the local church here in Mineola, Texas. That is us. That's the Word of God speaking to us. That is instruction for us this morning. Paul said, and uses the term looking for. That is, carries with it a continuing expectancy. It's like knowing that somebody is going to come to your home that's very special to you, and you are keen on their arrival. You are focused on their arrival. You go to the front door or the back door of their family many times to check and see if maybe you've missed their arrival. I would encourage you, and I would encourage myself, that we become keen on looking for the return of Christ for the rapture of the church. It's a looking for a continuing, eager expectancy for His appearing. That's the rapture. That's the redemption, if you would, the redemption of our bodies. You see, our souls have already been redeemed the moment we trust Christ. But we're still in this old earthly body. It's prone to sin. It's prone to be critical, which is sin also. But we find that this old body just wants the things of this world. We focus on those things. We desire those things. We strive to have those things. And those things don't bring peace. But we find here that this rapture, this coming of the Lord to take us away to be with Him, will redeem this old body. The soul's been redeemed. We've had that spiritual birth. You see, this old earthly body is the same, and it needs to be, if you would, made new again. And it will be at the rapture. Or it will be the moment we pass from this life before the rapture. It's changed, you see. This old earthly body goes into the ground, or else it goes into the furnace, if you would. This old body brings much heartache. We find then that this redemption of our body, this rapture, completes our salvation. No longer do we have to look forward to seeing Christ face to face, to standing before God, our Heavenly Father. After the rapture, we will be with Him forever. It completes that which Christ began which the Holy Spirit began as we heard the Word of God proclaimed. We find this great God, the great God and our Savior, is none other than Jesus Christ Himself, who obediently, because of His love for us, His commitment to His Heavenly Father, because of the need, the great need, because that sin payment had to be paid for by death. Christ made that death payment for us on the cross. That great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. You see, Christ is God. The Holy Spirit is God. God the Father, God is God. There's no other God. There's no other Christ. There's no other Holy Spirit except the one that we worship as true believers in Christ. Paul was stressing to Titus here. Paul was stressing to Titus that these are some things that you need to teach. The world, the local church, needs to know these things. To be firmly planted in these things. To be encouraged in the proclamation of these things. But as much as the proclamation, Paul was writing to Titus. And he was saying these things need to be practiced in the local church. Titus, it's almost we can hear Paul's voice speaking to Titus. When he says in verse 15, these things speak, responsibility, Titus to speak and exhort, Paul said. Paul's instruction to Titus to exhort and rebuke, Paul's instruction to Titus was to rebuke with all authority. And then he goes on to say, let no man despise thee. Don't let somebody come in and discourage you. You see, these are the things that we as God's people here in Mineola, Texas, and the area around Mineola, Texas, we need to be aware of. We need to firmly implant them into our daily walk for the Lord. There is a responsibility that we as believers have to show forth to the world what a Christian is like. The world has enough images of them in their own minds of what Christians are. We need to really show them what Christians are like. We find in Titus chapter 3, as we jump into chapter 3, remembering that the instruction of Paul to Titus was that the local church teach sound doctrine. Chapter 2. Chapter 2 also, the local church must preach the grace of God. We find here in Titus chapter 3 that there's other instructions that Paul is giving to Titus. The church is to perform good works. Remember, Paul mentioned that in chapter 2. Good works. Why? Good works are an evidence of who we know as our personal Savior. Evidence of our salvation, if you would. Paul says to Titus in Titus chapter 3, verse 1, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. Paul is telling Titus that the local church needs to perform good works. It should be eager and anxious and learning. Always learning. Always learning to perform good works. Now, there may be some things that we as a local church, a small local church, on a limited budget, there may be some things that we are limited from doing. But we should do everything that we can do as a small local church to carry out these instructions that Paul has given to Titus. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities. We can do that. In other words, be obedient to the law. Obey the law. Obey the law. To obey magistrates. To be ready to every good work. In verse 8 of chapter 3, Titus, Paul writes to Titus and says, "This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly." In other words, repetition is theological mucilage, a dear friend of mine used to always say. Repetition is theological mucilage. I've seen the transformation where the emphasis in our little church, our local church, as we continue to rebuild, how the emphasis has turned and is focusing more on what God would have us focus on, and that is the salvation of souls, the encouragement of new believers, the acceptance of people as they are. You see, that's where it's at. When we trust Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we are babes, a spiritual birth. We're a spiritual baby. I had a great picture. I'd show it to you if I could. I'd put it up on that TV if I could, of my new great-grandson, Jacob Allen. Boy, is he ever cute. Got a picture of him, and he's now able to hold his bottle. Boy, that just thrilled me. You'd have thought that he'd, you know, won some great, great reward or award. Held his own bottle. Got two new teeth. 5 months old. I must say, he's just as cute as a bug. Thank goodness he doesn't take after me. But anyway, that is how we look to God. The moment we trust Christ, He is thrilled to death. I'm certain of that. He's thrilled to death, but we're babes. We're babes. We can't even hold our own bottle, if you would. Somebody has to feed us the sincere milk of the Word, and we begin to grow. We begin to see what's important. We begin to see the things around us. We notice things as new believers. Things come to our minds would not have come before we trusted Christ. Things that are important to our growth as a new believer. Verse 8, this is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. So what Paul is saying to Titus here is that you need to teach the people in the local churches there to be obedient, don't be lawless, don't be renegades, and also be careful to maintain good works. Good works. Looking out for those that are outside the walls of those churches, Paul is saying, there's a whole lot of people that need to know Christ as Savior. Being careful to maintain good works. Why? For your benefit. It's for your good. It's for your growth. It's for your strength, your spiritual strength. Paul goes on to say, winding up verse 8, these things are good. They're good. Not anything bad about them. They're good. And they're profitable. Who are they profitable to? Well, Paul is saying profitable unto men. I am positive that not only is it profitable to those that are outside the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, but they're profitable also to us as believers. We profit by them. One day, we'll stand before God or Christ at the judgment seat of Christ, and our works will be judged, not for salvation, because we're already saved. Our sins have already been paid for. We stand before Him, so our works can be awarded or rewarded, if you would. And these things that we do when we maintain good works, Christ is going to look at them. He's going to judge them as to whether they're gold, silver, and precious stone, or whether they're wood, hay, and stubble. Whether it was just a waste of time that we did these things, maybe we did them for our own honor, our own glory, our own being puffed up. Wood, hay, and stubble. Those works will not be rewarded, but those things that we do that are honoring and glorifying, and as we're led of the Holy Spirit, we'll be rewarded for those at the judgment seat of Christ. Then we find and catch a glimpse of the latter part of the book of Titus as Paul continues to minister instruction to Titus. He said, "And let ours also learn to maintain good works." That's the second time in one chapter that he mentions the need to have good works. Where's our mindset this morning? Where is it? Where's our mindset on Monday morning, Tuesday afternoon, Wednesday at noon? What a thrill it is. You know, we need to pray for the spring camp that's beginning this afternoon down in South Texas. Kids will be there that have never seen the Bibles, not know what a Bible is, never read one. These kids are brought in from every area and every portion of the country down in South Texas. And they're brought together, and the Word of God is beginning to be shared with them this afternoon. What would you think would be good for us to do? We need to pray for them. We need to pray for the leaders. We need to pray for the teachers. We need to pray for those who are peeling potatoes and slicing pickles and onion and tomatoes and fixing the food. Those who have gone and have agreed to be the watchers of the group that's there. There are. People go, and they are there just to make sure that everything runs smooth. We need to pray for them. We need to pray that those kids will come to know Christ as Savior. We need to know that there's people who have given sacrificially of their money to pay the camp cost for kids that can't afford it. There'll be kids there who do not speak English. There'll be kids there who do not know who their mom or dad is. There will be kids there who sleep on the streets. We need to pray for them. We need to pray for the leaders. We need to pray for the teachers. We need to pray for the preachers. We need to pray that God is honored and glorified. And let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses. Meet the needs of those in our congregation and those that we have contact with, if we're able to do that at all. It hasn't been that long ago that a gentleman came into our church who had needs. He had a boatload of needs. And we attempted to meet some of those needs, or meet his needs, but his needs just continued to grow. More needs, more and more needs, more and more needs, to the point that we were unable to continue. He needed to be in a church and being ministered to by a large church of 400 to 500 people in order to meet the needs that he had. But we can meet the needs of those people that we know of who have needs where we're able to meet them. We need to do that. Learn to maintain good works for necessary uses. Why is that? That we be not unfruitful, that we bear the fruit that God would have us do as a local church. So Paul is continuing to instruct Titus in Titus chapter 3 that the instruction is that we should form good works. How do we go about that? That's for next week. Don't read Mark 17 because there's not a Mark 17, but you might want to read Titus chapter 3. Or we'll continue our study. No, we won't next week. We'll be week after. Freddie will be here next week. There's no telling what he'll be speaking on. But I can tell you what he's speaking on right now. I know Freddie. I've known Freddie since 1995. I know what he'll be speaking on. But here, you might read Titus chapter 3 or week after next. And we'll learn how the Holy Spirit works within the local body of believers. Let's look to the Lord in word of prayer. Father, we come to you this morning. Father, if we were able to take and to be faithful in each one of these instructions, Father, we're only going to be able to be that way through the strengthening and the leadership and the direction of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We pray for that, Father. We pray for that in our local church. We pray for that in our individual lives. Father, we ask that you would lead our church, that you would encourage us to maintain good works, because, Father, they are profitable. Maybe not in earthly terms and earthly possessions, but they are profitable to us as believers. Encourage us. We pray that you would direct us. We pray, Father, that we might be obedient to the leading of your Holy Spirit. Thank you so much for each one that's here this morning, for those that are feeling better, able to be back with us, for those that are unable to be with us. We do ask, Father, for your healing and your direction and provision in their lives. Father, we do pray for the camp that's going on in South Texas this afternoon. It begins and runs at least through Thursday evening, and, Father, hopefully through Friday, but you know best. And so, Father, we pray for that. We pray for all of those involved, those that have traveled long distances. Father, we pray that you'd be honored and glorified in that. We do pray for Freddie and his family and the Grace for Life Institutes as they come our way. We pray that you'd grant them traveling mercies. Father, we do thank you so much for grace. We thank you for your love for us and for your word. We ask these things in Christ's name.
Song is number 247.